Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, Chapter 13, and today we're beginning with text number 120, continuing our discussion of the Lord's dancing at Rathyatra.
Nachite nachati prabhur hailo bhavantar, hashta tule shloka pade kori utchaishar.
While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing, his ecstasy changed. Raising his two arms, he began to recite the following verse in a loud voice.
Yakaumara hara sa eva hivarastha eva chaitrakshapas te chon milita malati surabhaya pravahat kadambanilaha sa chaivasmi tathapi tatra surata vyapara lila vidhau revarodha sivetasi tarutale cheta samutkanthate.
Translation: that very personality who stole away my heart during my youth is now again my master. These are the same moonlit nights in the month of Chaitra. The same fragrance of malati flowers is there, and the same sweet breezes are blowing from the kadam forest. In our intimate relationship, I am also the same lover, yet still my mind is not happy here. I am eager to go back to that place on the bank of the Reva River, under the Vetasi tree. That is my desire. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This verse appears in the Padyavali 382 by Srila Rupa Goswami. That is Prabhupada's entire purport. I've actually gone and looked through the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This verse appears a few times. It's quoted by the author himself, the author of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And it's quoted a few times. In every single case where this verse is quoted, Srila Prabhupada's sentence, Srila Prabhupada's purport is one sentence long, and generally either points out the verse number from Padyavali or the fact that it was spoken by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada has nothing else to say about this verse. However, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has quite a bit to say about it, and it's explained in a few places in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. These are significant facts, but before we go on to those, let's consider the source of this verse. Does anyone know? Yes.
A book about grammar. It's a grammar book that it came from. I don't know the exact name of it offhand.
In fact, this verse was hundreds, at least hundreds of years old by the time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke it here. So it's not authored by anyone else. Now the second thing is, what does this verse have to do with Krishna? This must have been the question on the minds of many devotees who heard the Lord singing it. Reva, where's the Reva River? Does anyone know? Narmada River flows through Maharashtra, Gujarat, parts of Andhra Pradesh. And this appears to be a verse spoken by a young girl in love with a young boy who had loving affairs with him in the reed beds on the bank of the river Reva. Has nothing obvious to do with Krishna Lila. And yet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chanting this. I don't think we can really imagine how strange this and out of place it must have seemed. It would be something like we all join together in Mayapur for Sankirtana, as we do every year, and someone of the stature of, say, Indraduna Swami or Shivaram Swami starts to sing cinema songs. It would not be very comfortable. Songs by Madonna or somebody like that. So really, this is something that we have to take note of. In fact, Padyavali is a very interesting book because it's an anthology of verses from similar places, and not all of them have anything to do with Krishna, except in the mind of Srila Rupa Goswami, as will be revealed in due course. So let's go on. Ehi shloka Mahaprabhu pade bara bara sharupa binartha kehana jani har. This verse was recited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again and again, but for Sarup Damodar, no one could understand its meaning. Ehi shloka artha pura kari ache vyakhyan, shloker bhav artha kari shankshepe akhyan. I've already explained this verse, now I shall simply describe it in brief. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Again, he says, his purport is one sentence long. In this connection, Srimad Tilila, chapter 1, verses 53, 77 through 80, and 82 through 84. Let's just bookmark that for now. We can return to it in a few moments. For now, I'll just continue reading. Purva jai che kuru khetre shava gopi gan krishner darshana paya anandita-man. Formerly, all the gopis of Vrindavan were very pleased when they met with Krishna in the holy place Kurukshetra. Jagannatha dekhi prabhure bhavuthilo shei bhavavishta haiya dhuiya gauila. Similarly, after seeing Lord Jagannath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu awoke with the ecstasy of the gopis. Being absorbed in this ecstasy, he asked Sarup Damodar to sing the refrain. Avasheshe radha krishne kare nivedan Shaitumi Shayami Shainava Shangam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke thus to Lord Jagannath. You are the same Krishna, and I am the same Radharani. We are meeting again in the same way that we met in the beginning of our lives. Tathapya Maramon Hari Brindavan Brindavani Uday Karao Apan Charan. Although we are both the same, my mind is still attracted to Vrindavan Tham. I wish that you will please appear with your lotus feet in Vrindavan. Iha lokaranya hati ghoda rasadhwani taha pushparanya bhringa pika nadashuni. Kurukshetra is crowded with people, their elephants and horses, and the rattling of chariots. In Vrindavan, however, there are flower gardens, and the humming of bees and chirping of birds can be heard. Iha raja besha shange shavakaktriyagan taha gopa besha shange muralivadan. Here at Kurukshetra you are dressed like a royal prince, accompanied by great warriors, but in Vrindavan you appear just like an ordinary cowherd boy, accompanied only by your beautiful flute. Brajeto mara shange jay shuka ashadan shay shuka shamudre riyahanahi ekkan. Here, there is not even a drop of the transcendental happiness that I enjoyed with you at Vrindavan. Amalaya puna lila karan Vrindavane tabe amar manavan chahaita purane. I therefore request that you come to Vrindavan and enjoy pastimes with me. If you do so, my ambition will be fulfilled. Bhagavate ache jaiche radhika bachan pure tahast sutramache kari ache varan. I've already described in brief Srimati Radharani's statement from Srimad Bhagavatam. She bhavave she prabhu pade ar shlok she shab shlokir artha nahi bhujhe lok. In that ecstatic mood, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited many other verses, but people in general cannot understand their meaning. Sarupa Goshai jane na kahe artha tar Sri Rupa Goshai ta kailo she artha prachar. The meaning of those verses was known to Srirup Damodar Goswami, but he did not reveal it. However, Srirup Goswami has broadcast the meaning. Srirupa shange jara artha kare ashadan nritya madhye shai shloka kare na parhan. While dancing, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again began to recite that verse, which he tasted in the association of Srirup Damodar Goswami. Ahushchate nalinanabha padaravindam yogeshwarayrhri vichintya agadha bodhaihi samsara kupapavdito taranavalambam geham jusham abhimanasyudiyat sadanaham. The gopis spoke thus. Dear Lord, whose navel is just like a lotus flower, Your lotus feet are the only shelter for those who have fallen into the deep well of material existence. Your feet are worshipped and meditated upon by great mystic yogis and highly learned philosophers. We wish that these lotus feet may also be awakened within our hearts, although we are only ordinary persons engaged in household affairs. Now we have a purport by Srila Prabhupada, lengthy purport. This is a quotation from the Srimad Bhagavatam. It was just mentioned by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami a couple of verses ago when he said that I have already described in brief Srimati Radharani's statement from Srimad Bhagavatam. Now we're going to hear Srila Prabhupada about this. This is 1082:49. The gopis were never interested in karma yoga, jnana yoga, or dhyana yoga. They were simply interested in bhakti yoga. Unless they were forced, they never liked to meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord. Rather, they preferred to take the lotus feet of the Lord and place them on their breasts. Sometimes they regretted that their breasts were so hard, fearing that Krishna might not be very pleased to keep his soft lotus feet there. When those lotus feet were pricked by the grains of sand in the Vrindavan pasturing ground, the gopis were pained and began to cry. The gopis wanted to keep Krishna at home always, and in this way their minds were absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Such pure consciousness can arise only in Vrindavan. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to explain his own mind, which was saturated in the ecstasy of the gopis. Now in the Srimad Bhagavatam, from which this verse is being quoted, we have a few comments by our esteemed godbrothers, Gopi Pranadana Prabhu and Hridayananda Maharaj. Shukdev Goswami said, I'm reading the text of chapter 82 of the Bhagavatam. Shukdev Goswami said, while gazing at their beloved Krishna, the young gopis used to condemn the creator of their eyelids, which momentarily blocked their vision of him. Now, seeing Krishna again after such a long separation, their eyes, with their eyes, they took him into their hearts, and there they embraced him to their full satisfaction. In this way, they became totally absorbed in ecstatic meditation on him, although those who constantly practice mystic yoga find such absorption difficult to achieve. This is when the gopis first saw Krishna again, after many, many years of separation, when the Lord had gone away to Mathura first and then to Dwarka. Now he came back to Kurukshetra on the occasion of the solar eclipse, and the Yadavas met with the Vrijavasis at that time, and Krishna also met with the gopis, as we'll hear. The Supreme Lord approached the gopis in a secluded place as they stood in their ecstatic trance. After embracing each of them and inquiring about their well-being, he laughed and spoke as follows. There's a note here. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments that Krishna was laughing because he wanted to help them lighten their spirits. Lord Krishna said, my dear girlfriends, do you still remember me? It was for my relative's sake that I stayed away so long, intent on destroying my enemies. Do you perhaps think I'm ungrateful and thus hold me in contempt? After all, it is the Supreme Lord who brings living entities together and then separates them. There's a purport. Vishwanath Chakravarti reveals, Thakur reveals the gopis' thoughts. We're not like you, who with your heart shattered by remembering us day and night, give up all sense enjoyment in your distress of separation. Rather, we have not remembered you at all. In fact, we've been quite happy without you. You can catch their mood here. Just as the wind brings together, this is Krishna continuing, just as the wind brings together masses of clouds, blades of grass, wisps of cotton, and particles of dust, only to scatter them all again, so the Creator deals with His created beings in the same way. Rendering devotional service to me qualifies any living being for eternal life, but by your good fortune you have developed a special loving attitude towards me, by which you have obtained me. Dear ladies, I am the beginning and end of all created beings and exist both within and without them, just as the elements ether, water, air, earth, and fire are the beginning and the end of all the material objects and exist both within and without them. In this way, all created things reside within the basic elements of creation, while the spirit souls pervade the creation, remaining in their own true identity. You should see both these, the material creation and the self, as manifest within me, the imperishable supreme truth. Shukdev Goswami said, having thus been instructed by Krishna in spiritual matters, the gopis were freed of all tinges of false ego because of their incessant meditation on him. And with their deepening absorption in him, they came to understand him fully. And then we quote the verse that we've just read from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Ahoshtate nalinanabha paradavindam, etc. Now the purport here is, the translation and word meanings for this verse are taken from Srila Prabhupada's English rendering of in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majjhalila 181, where this verse is quoted. Revealing the jealous mood in which the gopis spoke these deceptively reverential words, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti gives their statements as follows. O Supreme Lord, O directly manifest Super Soul, O crest jewel of all instructors in definitive knowledge, you were aware of our excessive attachment to home, property, and family. Therefore, you previously had Uddhava instruct us in the knowledge that dispels ignorance, and now you have done so yourself. In this way, you have purified our hearts of contamination, and as a result, we understand your pure love for us, free from any motivation other than assuring our liberation. But we are only unintelligent cowherd women. How can this knowledge remain fixed in our hearts? We cannot even meditate steadily on your lotus feet, the focus of realization for great souls like Lord Brahma. Please be merciful to us and somehow make it possible for us to concentrate on you, even a little. We are still suffering the reactions of our own fruitive work, so how can we meditate on you, the goal of great yogis? Such yogis are immeasurably wise, but we are mere feeble-minded women. Please do something to get us out of this deep well of material life. End quote. Thus, according to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the words of the gopis that the gopis speak in this verse may be interpreted as follows. Quote, O sun who directly destroys the darkness of ignorance, we are scorched by the sun rays of this philosophical knowledge. We are chakora birds who can subsist only on the moonlight radiating from your beautiful face. Please come back to Vrindavan with us, and in this way bring us back to life. And if Krishna answers, then come to Dwarka, we will enjoy together. The gopis reply that Sri Vrindavan is their home, and they are too attached to it for them to take up residence anywhere else. Only there, the gopis imply, can Krishna attract them by wearing peacock feathers in his turban and playing enchanting music with his flute. Only by his appearing again in Vrindavan can the gopis be saved, not by any other kind of meditation on him or theoretical knowledge of the self. Now in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila, chapter 1, this is what Prabhupada had referred to in his purports that we just read. Beginning with text 53, we get some more explanation of these verses and why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was quoting this mundane verse in particular, which actually appears in a number of previous books. It's in a grammar book, it's in several books on drama, it's in some verse anthologies. Nobody really knows how far back it goes. But in the attitude of separation, Lord Chaitanya appeared both day and night to be mad. Sometimes he laughed, sometimes he cried, sometimes he danced, and sometimes he chanted in great sorrow. At those times, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would visit Lord Jagannath. Then his feelings exactly corresponded to those of the gopis when they saw Krishna at Kurukshetra after long separation. Krishna had come to Kurukshetra with his brother and sister to visit. Prabhupada points out Krishna had come to perform a yajna there, and he invited the Vrijavasis to come see him. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became fully absorbed in that pastime. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to dance before the cart during the Rath Yatra festival, he always sang the following two lines. Sheto parananatha painu jahalagi madana dahane jhuriginu. I have gotten that Lord of my life for whom I was burning in the fire of lusty desires. Purport. In Srimad Bhagavatam 10.29.15, it is stated, Kamam krodham bhayam sneham aityam saukhradam evacha nityam harau vidadhato yanti tanmayatam hite. The word kama means lusty desire, bhaya means fear, and krodha means anger. If one somehow or other approaches Krishna, his life becomes successful. The gopis approached Krishna with lusty desire. Krishna was a very beautiful boy, and they wanted to meet and enjoy his company. But this lusty desire is different from that of the material world. It appears like mundane lust, but in actuality it is the highest form of attraction to Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a sannyasi. He left home and everything else. He would certainly not be induced by any mundane lusty desires. So when he uses the word madanadahane, which means burning in the fire of lust, burning within the fire of Cupid, we might say, or as Prabhupada translates here, in the fire of lusty desire, he means that out of pure love for Krishna, he was burning in the fire of separation from Krishna. Whenever he met Jagannath, either in the temple or during the Rath Yatra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to think, now I have gotten the Lord of my life and soul. Lord Chaitanya used to sing this song, Shaita Parananatha, especially during the latter part of the day, and he would think, let me take Krishna and go back to Vrindavan. This ecstasy was always filling his heart. Purport. Being always absorbed in the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt the same separation from Krishna that Srimati Radharani felt when Krishna left Vrindavan and went to Mathura. This ecstatic meeting is very helpful in attaining love of God in separation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught everyone that one should not be overly anxious to see the Lord, but rather one should rather feel separation from Him in ecstasy. It is actually better to feel separation from Him than to desire to see Him face to face. When the gopis of Vrindavan, the residents of Gokula, met Krishna at Kurukshetra during the solar eclipse, they wanted to take Krishna back to Vrindavan. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also felt the same ecstasy as soon as he saw Jagannath in the temple or on the Rath Yatra cart. The gopis of Vrindavan did not like the opulence of Dwarka. They wanted to take Krishna to the village of Vrindavan and enjoy his company in the groves. This desire was also felt by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he danced in ecstasy before the Rath Yatra festival of Lord Jagannath when Lord Jagannath went to Gundicha. In that ecstasy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited one verse when dancing in front of Lord Jagannath. Almost no one could understand the meaning of the verse, and it's the verse that we just read, so I'll skip it. The Yah Komara Hara verse, mundane love poetry. This verse appears to be the hankering between some ordinary boy and girl, but its actual deep meaning was known only to Surup Damodar. By chance, one year, Rupa Goswami was also present there. Although the meaning of the verse was known only to Surup Damodar, Rupa Goswami, after hearing it from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, immediately composed another verse describing the meaning of the original verse, that is to say, the transcendental meaning of that verse. After composing this verse, Rupa Goswami wrote it on a palm leaf and put it on the roof of the thatched house in which he was living. After composing this verse and putting it on the roof of his house, Srila Rupa Goswami went to bathe in the sea. In the meantime, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to his hut to meet him. To avoid great turmoil, three gate personalities, Haridas Thakur, Rupa Goswami, and Sanatan Goswami, did not enter the temple of Jagannath. Every day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to go to see the Upala Bhog ceremony in the temple of Jagannath, and after seeing this, he used to go to visit these three great personalities on his way to his own residence. If one of these three was not present, he would meet the others. That was his regular practice. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the residence of Srila Goswami, he accidentally saw the palm leaf on the roof, and thus he read the verse composed by him. After reading the verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went into an ecstatic mood. While he was in that state, Srila Rupa Goswami came and immediately fell down on the floor like a rod. When Rupa Goswami fell down like a rod, that's dandavat, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got up and gave him a slap. Then taking him on his lap, he began to speak to him. No one knows the purport of my verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. How could you understand my intention? Saying this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed various benedictions upon Rupa Goswami, and taking the verse, he later showed it to Surup Goswami. Having shown the verse to Surup Damodar with great wonder, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him how Rupa Goswami could understand the intentions of his mind. Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami replied to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "If Rup Goswami can understand your mind and intentions, he must have your Lordship's special benediction." The Lord said, "I was so pleased with Rup Goswami that I embraced him and bestowed upon him all necessary potencies for preaching the bhakti cult. I accept Rup Goswami as quite fit to understand the confidential mellows of devotional service, and I recommend that you explain devotional service to him further. I shall describe all these incidents elaborately later on. Now I have given only a brief reference." This is Krishnadas Kaviraj again. Now he quotes the verse that Srila Rup Goswami had written in imitation of the mundane love poetry. Priyaso yam krishna sahachari kurukshetra militas tathaham saradha tarimabhupayo sangamasukham tathapyantakhelan maturamurali panchamajashe manome kalindi pulinavipanaya sprihayati. This verse was spoken by Srimati Radharani. "My dear friend, now I have met my very old and dear friend Krishna in this field of Kurukshetra. I am the same Radharani, and now we are meeting together. It is very pleasant, but still, I would like to go back to the bank of the Yamuna, beneath the trees of the forest there. I wish to hear the vibration of his sweet flute playing the fifth note within that forest of Vrindavan." Purport. This verse also appears in Padyavali 383 by Srila Rupa Goswami. Period. Another one sentence purport. Srila Prabhupada doesn't really elaborate on the content of the verse. "Now, O devotees, please hear a brief explanation of this verse. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was thinking in this way after having seen the Jagannath deity. The subject of his thoughts was Srimati Radharani, who met Krishna in the field of Kurukshetra. Although she met Krishna there, she was nonetheless thinking of him in the following way. She thought of him in the calm and quiet atmosphere of Vrindavan, dressed as a cowherd boy. But at Kurukshetra, he was in royal dress and was accompanied by elephants, horses, and crowds of men. Thus, the atmosphere was not congenial for their meeting. Thus, meeting with Krishna and thinking of the Vrindavan atmosphere, Srimati Radharani longed for Krishna to take her to Vrindavan again, to fulfill her desire in that calm atmosphere. Ahushchate nanananabha paradavindam," etc. This verse is quoted again. The gopi said, at Kurukshetra again, "Dear Lord, whose navel is just like a lotus flower, your lotus feet are the only shelter for those who have fallen into the deep well of material existence. Your lotus feet are worshipped and meditated upon by great mystic yogis and highly learned philosophers. We wish that these lotus feet may also be awakened within our hearts, although we are only ordinary persons engaged in household affairs." This verse is from Srimad Bhagavatam, 1082-49. The gopis thought, "Dear Lord, if your lotus feet again come to our home in Vrindavan, our desires will be fulfilled." There's a purport here by Srila Prabhupada wherein he simply paraphrases his guru. In his Anupasya, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments, "The gopis are purely engaged in the service of the Lord without motive. They are not captivated by the opulence of Krishna, nor by the understanding that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Naturally, the gopis were inclined to love Krishna, for he was an attractive young boy of Vrindavan village. Being village girls, they were not very much attracted to the field of Kurukshetra, where Krishna was present with elephants, horses, and a royal dress. Indeed, they did not very much appreciate Krishna in that atmosphere. Krishna was not attracted by the opulence of personal beauty or personal beauty of the gopis, but by their pure devotional service. Similarly, the gopis were attracted to Krishna as a cowherd boy, not in sophisticated guise. Lord Krishna is inconceivably powerful. To understand him, great yogis and saintly persons give up all material engagements and meditate upon him. Similarly, those who are overly attached to material enjoyment, to enhancement of material opulence, to family maintenance, or to liberation from the entanglements of this material world, take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But such activities and motivations are unknown to the gopis. They are not at all expert in executing such auspicious activities. Already transcendentally enlightened, they simply engage their purified senses in the service of the Lord in the remote village of Vrindavan. The gopis are not interested in dry speculation, in the arts, in music, or other conditions of material life. They are bereft of all understanding of material enjoyment and renunciation. Their only desire is to see Krishna return and enjoy spiritual transcendental pastimes with them. The gopis want him simply to stay in Vrindavan so that they can render service unto him for his pleasure. There is not even a tinge of personal sense gratification. In one verse, Srila Goswami has explained the confidential meaning of the verse of Srimad Bhagavatam for the understanding of the general populace. In this way, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Jagannath, he saw that the Lord was with his sister Subhadra and was not holding a flute in his hand. Absorbed in the ecstasy of the gopis, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wished to see Lord Jagannath in his original form as Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, standing in Vrindavan and appearing very beautiful. His body curved in three places. His desire to see that form was always increasing. I'm going to stop there, except that there is... this verse is quoted yet again in the Anchalila, and there's a very significant purport, which I believe explains why Srila Prabhupada is relatively silent on all these matters that have been explained by predecessor acharyas. There again, the context of this verse being quoted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is given, and the imitative verse that's written in its wake by Srila Rupa Goswami is quoted. And the story of Rupa Goswami putting it in the roof of his thatch hut and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finding it there is also mentioned. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took this verse and showed it to Swarup Damodar, and they were discussing it. And again, Swarup Damodar said that this is because you have bestowed your mercy upon Rupa Goswami that he could understand your intention. Finally, we get this conclusion. One day, while Sri Rupa Goswami was writing his book, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu suddenly appeared. As soon as Haridas Thakur and Rupa Goswami saw the Lord coming, they both stood up and fell down to offer him respectful obeisances. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced both of them and sat down. The Lord asked him, Rupa Goswami, what are you writing? And Rupa Goswami quoted him this verse, I don't know how much nectar there is in the two syllables of Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciated that very much. And they discussed this for some time. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Rupa Goswami to repeat the verse that he had previously heard and the verse that he had written. Rupa Goswami didn't want to do it. He stayed quiet. So Swarup Damodara Goswami, who had by this time memorized the verse, Priyasoyam, my dear friend, I've now met my very old and dear friend Krishna on this battlefield of Kurukshetra. I am the same Radharani, and now we are meeting together. It is very pleasant, but still I would like to go to the bank of the Yamuna, between the trees and forest there. I wish to hear the vibration of his sweet flute playing the fifth note within that forest of Vrindavan. Swarup Damodara quoted this verse. And after hearing the verse, both Ramananda Raya and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, without your special mercy, how could this Rupa Goswami have understood your mind? Srila Ramananda Raya admitted that previously Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had empowered his heart so that he could express elevated and conclusive statements to which even Lord Brahma has no access. Had you not previously bestowed your mercy upon him, they said, it would not have been possible for him to express your internal feelings. Now here's purport by Srila Prabhupada. He says, devotees acknowledge that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was special mercy upon Srila Rupa Goswami in the following words. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale, etc. I'm going to abbreviate here because we're running out of time. When will Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who has established within this material world the mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter under his lotus feet? The special function of Srila Rupa Goswami is to establish the feelings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These feelings are his desires, that his special mercy be spread throughout the world in this Kali Yuga. Prithviti ache jata nagarani gram sarvatra prachara hoibing mora nam. His desire is that all over the world, everyone, in every village, in every town, know of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his Sankirtana movement. These are the inner feelings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Rupa Goswami committed to writing all these feelings of the Lord. Now again, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the same feelings are being spread all over the world by the servants of the Goswamis. And devotees who are pure and simple will appreciate this attempt. As concluded by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, however, those who are on the level of hogs and dogs will never appreciate such a great attempt. Yet this does not matter to the preachers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's cult. For all over the world, they will continue to perform this responsible work, even though persons who are like cats and dogs do not appreciate them. Srila Prabhupada, when he was a householder, he read Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on Bhagavad Gita 241, Vyavasayatmika Buddhi. And he was inspired by the emphasis given in that verse on the necessity of taking shelter of one's spiritual master and accepting his words with faith as one's heart and soul. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said that this was the essential inspiration for him to execute the unimaginably difficult order of preaching Krishna consciousness to the Western world at the time that that order was given, in, say, 1922. He meditated on that order for decades. He finally carried out that order successfully. We can see we're all here today as a result of that faith. And Srila Prabhupada, in his own way, very much like Rupa Goswami, understood the intention of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the inner desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as it was revealed to him through the words of his spiritual master, Guru Mukha Padma Bhakta Chitete Kori Aiko, Arana Kori Homani Asha. We sing every day. In fact, in Gaudiya Math, they don't sing this every day. Only in ISKCON we sing this every day, because Srila Prabhupada wanted to drive this point home to all of us. That without this absolute faith, which is literally the concluding words of the Shvetashvatara Upanishad, yasya deve para bhaktir, yatha deve tatha gurau. Without this faith, one cannot make any advancement towards the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What to speak of understanding the inner desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or the confidential affairs of Krishna with his most beloved eternal associates. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing, in this particular purport at least, that's how I see it, he's emphasizing the mission of the Lord, the mission as he received it from his spiritual master. That is apparently his sole concern. He doesn't say anything else about these affairs. Throughout the 3 or 4 times that this particular verse is quoted, or even associated verses are quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada just doesn't go there. He only is focused on this point. He himself is the living example of the faith that so inspired him from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So these are just this is something we can take note of here. I'm going to stop now. I know it's late. Apologize for going over time. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.